Following this weekend's mass trespass in protest at the end of 3 centuries of free public access to Cirencester Park, we speak to the protest leader and to the peer who has decided to start charging a fee. Now, it is more than 300 years since the first Earl of Bathurst landscaped what are now the grounds of Cirencester Park on the 3,000-acre Bathurst estate in the Cotswolds. Since then, the public has been able to freely use its tree-lined avenues for a stroll or a shortcut to school. Juliet Morton used to live in Cirencester.
I grew up on a road at the end of the park and we had a really small garden. So the park became my back garden as a child and I spent my summers and my weekends and my free time there. And it was a place where I went with my friends and we would play in the trees in the woods. It was a place that I kind of carried with me through the whole of my childhood. I went to school at one end for primary school of the park and then I went to secondary school at the other end of the park. So it's deeply part of who I am. It's just somewhere that I know really, really well and it just feels like home. And I think it's a really important part of people's lives.
Well, at the weekend, several hundred people gathered on the grounds of the park, not to stroll or to play, but for a mass trespass. They were protesting against a decision by the 9th Earl of Bathurst, the current owner of the estate, to begin charging visitors to help with the park's upkeep. Locals, those with a Cirencester postcode, will have to pay what is being called a £10 deposit for a pass. Visitors from further afield can buy a daily or an annual pass. An annual one costs £30 or £50 for a family. Well, we'll speak to one of the organisers of the protest in just a moment. First of all, I asked Lord Bathurst what he made of the protesters who turned up yesterday.
They were very well behaved. We didn't have any issues whatsoever. Even the grass seemed to survive all right with the people walking on it. It was a peaceful demonstration. We fully understand and appreciate the reasons behind it.
What do you think those reasons are?
I think to start with, it's probably change. Nobody likes change. And so that immediately gets people wound up a little bit.
Well, yes, change is people having to pay, isn't it? So that's clearly what people are concerned about.
That's right, yes. We must get it absolutely right that there is a community charge, which is a £10 deposit, for certainly the foreseeable future, to be able to go backwards and forwards into the park as and when and just as they are at present.
And this is for local people, if you have a Cirencester postcode?
This is for local people, yes.
Outsiders, they do have to purchase a daily pass or they can get an annual pass, is that correct?
Correct. They either get an annual pass or otherwise you get a daily pass, which is really designed far more for visitors. And they will then go in and we will have a sort of a selected walk for them to take so they know where they're going.
So why, after 300 years, as you say, without having to pay, is now the time to introduce this paying?
The landscape parkland is coming to what one might call the end of its life. The first stretch of the avenue, actually, the horse chestnut trees really should be coming down. We started taking some down in 2019. We're going to be taking more down in September. We're replanting behind that, but further on up in the avenue, the beech trees that made up much of the avenue have come to the end of their lives. They were planted 320 plus years ago.
Why should the public, I suppose is a question, be the ones who are helping to fund this?
There are some huge costs involved and some assistance for those people that enjoy walking in the park I don't think is totally unreasonable. It's not a huge amount. You go to the arboretums or National Trust properties, you'll be paying an awful lot more.
What about the question of, as you say, this has been in place for hundreds of years, and one of the leaders of these protests says this breaks a kind of social contract for local people who have been able to have free access for centuries.
They still can. A £10 deposit, I don't think it's totally unreasonable. You know, when the park was opened originally 300 plus years ago, Cirencester and the community was very much smaller, and people are coming from further and further afield. There is more wear and tear on the environment, and somewhere that needs to be looked after and reinstated.
What do you say then to folks who say, well, look, Lord Bathurst has got quite a few pennies, he should be able to do this himself?
It's going to cost a little bit more than quite a few pennies, I can assure you. You know, there are huge costs on the estate. I keep on being told, oh, well, there's a cost of living, as if the estate has got some form of immunity to the cost of living. Our costs have rocketed as well, just as much as anybody else's has.
One other point that's been raised by these protesters is the question of children needing photo ID and the question of whether kids actually will be losing these photo IDs and that will make it more difficult for them to get through and complicate going to and from school. What do you say to that?
I don't think the photo IDs are going to be come into force. It would be just the card that they will have. My answer to it is that they should learn to look after their card. They do seem to manage to do it with their mobile phones. They always seem to have them.
The 9th Earl of Bathurst there, we're listening to that, the organiser of yesterday's Cirencester protest, John Moses, who's also co-director of the Right to Roam campaign. Good evening.
Good evening.
What are people most frustrated about?
I think it depends if you're a visitor or a local. I mean, for visitors, it's obviously the charge that's going to have a huge impact on people. You know, you might say, well, why don't they just go somewhere else? But actually, Cirencester Park is one of the most significant green spaces in that region. And actually, the Cotswold has some of the worst access of any of our national landscapes. For locals, you know, it's about the precedent. So, yes, it's £10 now, but Lord Bath has said to the BBC Gloucestershire this morning that he can't promise it will always be a £10 deposit. So once you've got that transactional relationship established, there's nothing stopping it being ramped up in the future. You know, and this is the gateway to people's access to the wider countryside as well. It's not just about the park. So people that want to get beyond the parkland, they've got to pass through it. So they don't really have a choice.
What about his argument that he needs the money to improve the quality of the grounds? I mean, isn't that something in everyone's interest?
I mean, he has, as you said, a lot more than a few pennies. There's plenty of money in that estate, and they never paid for the land. It should be said also that the taxpayer already pays hundreds of thousands of pounds to support the estate every single year. And that's only going to increase with the environmental land management schemes that we're moving to now that we've left the European Union. So all that kind of conservation work that these passes are supposed to be supporting, I mean, that's actually already been given by the taxpayer. So to me, that seems like double billing.
And what about those concerns about the students going to and from school? I mean, he says, look, they should be able to keep hold of their cards that they're given just as they keep hold of their phones. What do you think to that?
I mean, I used to be a teacher, so I know how chaotic young kids can be and how difficult it is for them just to, remember their clothes in the morning, let alone anything else. He might be right that they'll clutch their mobile phones, but will they remember their pass on top of all their school books and all the rest of it? I mean, it just seems a bit absurd to me.
So, I mean, what impact do you think the protests are going to have? Are you going to be able to get him to change his mind? He sounds as though he's made it up.
Well, I hope he's taken note of the strength of feeling. He was leaning on the gate watching us, I noticed yesterday as we passed by. We will be writing an open letter to him outlining the many concerns that locals have presented to us. And there's a lot of appetite locally to continue resisting the attempt to paywall the park. So I think this won't be the end of the matter.
Right. And does it fit into a wider national picture?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we're seeing multiple estates take this model now of kind of pay per access. We're witnessing kind of micro enclosures of well-loved public spaces all around the country. And we saw last year with Dartmoor that the kind of existing access rights that we have to land are being kind of steadily stripped away by a very narrow elite of major landowners. So for us, that's why we need access reform in this country. We need to defend the existing rights that we already have. And we need to expand the public's access to nature. Sure. There's only 8% of access to the land in England at the moment.
John, many thanks. John Moses, co-director of the Right to Roam campaign.